Let's pray. Father God, we are so in awe of who you are. You truly are amazing. We worship you. We praise you. We lift you high in our lives. God, there's not just 10,000 reasons why we worship you. There's not just 100, there's not thousands, there's not hundreds of thousands. There's too many reasons to worship you, God. And this morning, we come and we open up our hearts to your word. We open up our hearts to your love. We pray that you hear our praises, that they are incense before you. And God, I pray that as a family of Christ, as a church of Christ, that we can come together before you and honor you this morning. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Good morning, church. And it's good to be together again this morning. And we're going to continue in our series of Spirit-filled relationships. And, a couple weeks ago we introduced this topic. And we're going to go through a couple different characteristics of the fruits of the Spirit. Today we're talking about the joy of selfless love. And, a couple weeks ago we introduced this theme. And we broke down Galatians 5. And what we did is, talking through Galatians 5, we looked at how sin and the flesh, excuse me.
Sorry, it's not a big deal, but there's a Toyota Venza outside with the doors open.
A Toyota Venza outside has their doors open if you want to go close your doors. Thank you for all the volunteers that we have here at North River. Thank you guys so much. So if you want to get your car, go ahead. But 2 weeks ago, we really broke down Galatians 5. And we talked about how, the flesh or our sin really tears apart our relationships. And yet how the Spirit wants to bless our relationships and bring fruit into our relationships. And we really talked about partnering with the Spirit. And how partnering with the Spirit, our role, our effort is to die to ourselves and to surrender over our lives to the Spirit. Then the Spirit fills us and bears fruit in our lives to really bless us and to bring life to us. So in that context, we're going to be talking today about the joy of selfless love. And I'm going to be doing the first half of this lesson, and then Kendall Knight is going to be doing the second half of this lesson. So we're fired up about that. Amen. So joy is going to be an acronym. We got two acronyms for you this morning. We haven't done acronyms in a while, so we're going to give it a shot, all right? Joy today is going to stand for Jesus first, others second, and yourself when? Last. And I'm going to break down Jesus first for us, and then Kendall's going to walk through those second two. So you can go in and flip over in your Bibles to John chapter 13, and we're going to pick up here, focusing on the story here. And besides Jesus dying on the cross and him coming down to earth in the first place, you can make an argument that this story in John 13 was the most selfless act that Jesus ever did. And so as we're talking about the joy of selfless love, I thought there's no better place for us to focus than right here. So in John 13 and verse 1, let's pick up. It was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to his Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. We're going to pause right here before we continue, because a couple ginormous things were just said. And I want us to break those down a little bit, okay? So in verse 3, there's a crazy sentence. That Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his powerity, under his authority, and that he had come from God and he was going back to God. Well, that's a crazy statement right there. And yet, what it's getting at is that Jesus knew who he was. That Jesus knew his identity. He was confident in who he was before God. And I want to talk about this for a second before we continue, because it's the foundation of everything we're about to talk about. So if we jump back to Matthew chapter 3, in Matthew 3, we see Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, and John 13 is the end of his ministry. At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus gets baptized. And something happens here that roots him for the rest of his life. So in Matthew 3, verse 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighted on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And I wanted to look at this because when we talk about Jesus knowing who he was, you could trace every story that Jesus went through the Gospels. Every time he spoke, every action that he did, and you could trace it all back that he was responding from this core place of his identity. That he was a deeply loved Son of God. That he walked around well pleased from God. And that everything he did traces back to this. And so Jesus, you know, has this, and that's so important because when life goes crazy for him, he still responds from that core identity. And he's going to need that in this moment. Because there was another crazy sentence back in John 13 in verse 2. The evening meal is in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. What an unsettling sentence. That Jesus is with his boys, his 12 guys, and he knew that one of them, Satan had already prompted, and just in a little bit, Satan's going to enter. I mean, talk about a moment that can fluster you, that can bring anxiety. What moments fluster you? When do you get thrown off your game when things don't get, you know, go to plan? You know, for me, I hate being late. Hate being late. And you know what's even worse than being late? Is being late when it's not your fault. I just saw some spouses look at each other. Okay, just be careful. You know what I'm saying? You know, I make my family late a lot, but sometimes I am the one that doesn't make us late. I'm not going to say who makes us late because that's dangerous, but someone else makes us late, and I love her very much. All right, but when we get in the car. I mean, it's the best I can do to not let what's in my heart come out of my mouth. Because my mama told me, if you got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. And so I'm just driving, and I'm just fuming, just. And Toya will ask, "Hey, babe, you want to pray?" "No." And I my love just gets thrown out the window. When you get unsettled, when something happens that flusters you, that's not according to plan, where does your love go? And in this moment when Satan had prompted one of his best friends, let's see where Jesus' love goes, if he loses it or not. So let's continue in John chapter 13, and we'll pick up in verse 4. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part in me." Man, you got to leave it up to Peter to say something crazy, right? And thank God for that guy to give some knuckleheads like me. You know, just I have dreams in the kingdom of God, because if Peter made it, I can make it too, right? But man, Jesus responds with immense selfless love beyond control. And Peter says, "You know, you're not going to wash my feet, Jesus." And I think a lot of us would probably have responded in the same way. You know, there's a bunch of things going on right here. Like, one, it was the servant's or the slave's job to wash people's feet during that time period, right? Two, if there was no servant, if there was no slave, then it would be the younger's, traditionally, it was the younger's role to wash the older, or the disciple's role to wash the rabbi. But in this situation, Peter didn't do it. And so there's, you know, it's Jesus taking the role of the under to wash his disciples' feet. That whole thing is going on. But also I think a lot of us would have gone, no, Jesus, you can't touch my feet. Because feet are gross. Feet are disgusting. I mean, when was the last time you smelled a teenage boy's feet? I mean, I got a 2-year-old son. I smelled Cam's shoes the other day, and I was like, oh no, it's begun. He's starting to stink. But man, these guys, they're not just young men or teenage men. They're ancient men. There's no such thing as a shower. They probably haven't taken a bath in a couple days, if not a couple weeks. They're not wearing socks. They're not wearing like the new Nazareth Nikes. They're walking around in sandals down dirt roads with animals pulling carts. What could have been on their feet? I mean, mud, animal feces, sweat, grime. I mean, you name it. It could have been disgusting. And here is King Jesus, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the very essence of cleanliness, the very definition of holiness and purity, on his knees in a loincloth, washing his disciples' feet. Who is this man, Jesus? And how incredible is his love? It's absolutely amazing. And I have a question for us, though, because Jesus washed all the disciples' feet, but Judas hadn't left yet. Even though he was prompted by Satan, Jesus also washed Judas's feet. And my question for us is, how did Jesus find the strength of love to selflessly serve Judas? How did he do that? Was Satan in his midst prompting Judas? He still served not just the other 11, but it served Judas. How did he find that strength? How did he find that selflessness? It's like the question we asked 2 weeks ago. How do I find lasting transformational change? Well, what can we learn from Jesus right here? How did he do that? He did that because Jesus responded from who he was before God instead of what was happening before him. So instead of what was happening before him, he didn't respond to that. He responded to who he was before God. Let's break that down a little bit. So in verse 4, there's four words, right? So he got up. It's an if-then statement. Because something happened, he got up. Therefore, because something happened, so because something happened, he got up. Well, what were the two sentences before that? Well, we focused on that in verse 2. What was happening in front of Jesus? Well, the devil had already prompted Judas to betray him. That was what was happening right in front of him. But then there was also Jesus' stance, his identity before God, that he knew that God had given him all authority and that he was going back to God. And both of those things would have led to two completely different responses. We would have been terrified to see Jesus responding to Satan in that moment. But that's not who he responded to. He responded based off of his stance and his identity before God. Where do you respond from this morning? Do you respond from what happens in front of you, the situation in front of you, or do you respond to who you are in your identity as a son and daughter of God? Because some of us will go, well, you just don't know the situation I got. You don't know what he said. You don't know what she did to me. Well, look, it doesn't matter how hard it is to deny yourself. I'm serious right now. It doesn't matter how hard it is to die to yourself. Because if you have the Spirit of God in you, that you have this Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, if that is in you, then you have unbounding selfless love ready to come out. If you got the Spirit of God in you, you have unbounding love and selflessness and grace and peace and purity just waiting to bear fruit in your life. You just got to surrender. You got to surrender and give up what's happening in front of you and give it over to the Spirit. Amen. And what's crazy, though, is that Jesus didn't just say this was just for him. But if you know the rest of this chapter, he said it was for all of us and for us to do likewise. And that's what Kendall's going to come up and talk about for us, is he's going to come up and talk about others second and yourself last. And I do want to encourage Kendall, because Kendall selflessly served Toy and I the other day. Him and Diane stopped by our house. It was unannounced, but we were appreciative still. They came by and said, hey, we are going out to dinner. Can we bring you some dinner home from our dates? It's like, no way, man. You know, when I'm on my date, I don't focus about nobody else. But on their date, y'all thought about us. So, man, I appreciate it. Thank you for being an example of selfless love in my life. It's all yours, bro.
Good. Thanks, bro. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Amen. That's actually Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Let's look at this. Let's look at this passage. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, as Jordan mentioned, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. This is the NIV version. We're going to look at the Holman translation of this passage in our second half of this point. Last point, rather. But I want to just look at some things that Paul's talking about here. And the thing that amazes me about the Apostle Paul is he imitated Jesus' heart in an amazing way. I mean, if you look at the backdrop, first of all, where is he? He's in prison. And so Paul is in prison. You know, this guy's been in chains. He's been locked up. He's been beaten. He's been shipwrecked. And right now his situation is not a great situation. I don't know if I was in Gwinnett County Jail that I would be thinking about spiritual things like this, keeping the church together. And I think the thing we need to look about here is what's interesting about this is that a lot of what's going on in the church here in the first century are some of the things that we're facing today. That people were having different opinions about different things, and their challenge was simply being unified, being one heart and one spirit. And he takes them back to what? He takes them to what? The Spirit. The Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And the thing that I appreciate about each and every one of us who've made the decision to make Jesus Lord is that we share that one thing in common, the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit represents so many things. It represents a confirmation that if we walk the faith, we're all marked and we'll be with God. That's what Ephesians says. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the thing that keeps it all together. If any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. It's interesting, sometimes when people refer to unity, right, it sometimes can push a button where it can mean conformity. But in here, what Paul is saying, he's saying, look, do things selflessly. Do things in a way that honors God. Do things in a way that thinks about others. And what's the other big word here? Rather in what? Humility. Value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Humility is the word of the day. To have selfless love, I believe, in any relationship is humility. I know for me, if I push someone's buttons, or I push my wife's buttons, or I push somebody else's buttons, and of course, living with a wife, when you live with your spouse, you push your buttons a lot. You know, unfortunately, we push each other's buttons. And I think the thing in order to have successful marriages and successful relationships is the level of humility that we exercise. I think humility, saying, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, let me hear you out, can we talk about this? Hey, let's break bread and have dinner. You can tell I love to eat, you know what I mean? I enjoy food, right? I'll do it over food. Now, I eat a lot of vegetables, McIntosh, amen. I want you guys to know that. We try to do it right, but my metabolism is slower now. What can I tell you? So anyway, but nonetheless, it's important when you have a conflict, break bread. Figure out a way that you can think of others first. It's not about your opinion. It's not about your agenda. It's about how much we're going to lay down our lives for each other. I want to look at something that an acronym. We got another acronym that Jordan talked about. It's called RAY, Random Acts of Encouragement. That's what I call it, random acts of encouragement. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Random acts of encouragement is the way we think of others. So how do we apply this? One of the things that I love to do in my random acts of encouragement Ray theme is I love to just call brothers. I have a circle of brothers that I call all the time. I could be in a parking lot during the day. Work is wide open. I could be in a parking lot. I could be on my way on the highway. I can be walking down the street, and I'll pick up the phone. Hey, Harold Chandler, how you doing, bro? How's it going? How's the family? How's life? Hey, Mike Eldridge, what's going on, man? How you doing? Mike Wyatt, how you doing, brother? Hey, thank you for that scripture the other day. Milton, thanks for calling me, bro. It's awesome. How are you? Hey, J.I., how are you doing, man? How's the family? Hey, you know what, Joe? Let's pray at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. Hey, Teresa, let's pray at 7 a.m. on Wednesday. Hey, Dwayne, let's pray at 7 a.m. on Friday. Hey, bro, how are you doing there? Are you doing okay? How's your family? What are you struggling with mentally? Hey, what's going on? Can you help me with this? I need financial. Hey, J.D., John Dakota, man, let's go to the Cubs game. You doing all right? Ross McKenzie, let's have some barbecue. How you doing, bro? Hey, let's go sit down with our buddy Carrie, and let's have a great time. Random acts of encouragement. I am wide open at work right now. Wide open. It doesn't matter. Now, I've lost some rhythm with the brothers in the morning because I've been getting up three times a week at 4:15 to go to spring workouts with my new football team. To go to weightlifting training. So at 4:15 in the morning, that's why I lost my rhythm with Kyrie a little bit. We're supposed to get together on Wednesday. Oh, bro, I forgot I have workouts. We got morning dawn. Oh, no, we got Lyman school. That's right. I forgot which one it was. That's at 6:30. So we had to practice at 6:30 in the morning. But even if I'm on the way to practice, on the way home, random acts of encouragement. Random acts of encouragement. What does it do? It helps our hearts get soft. Right? We're fighting a spiritual battle. So if I can call someone and say, hey, how are you doing today? It means a lot. We can do the same thing. You know, we can do the same thing. I want to encourage us with that. What does he say here? Unbelieving heart that turns away from living God. There's a lot of things in this pandemic time that can really harden our hearts. There's a lot. And I think from day to day, we go through a lot, and we need to encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so none of us would be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Yes, we're isolated. We have text messaging. We have phones. We have Zoom. We can go in the parking lot. It's funny. We go to Heirloom, myself and Ross McKenzie, during a pandemic, sat down. We had brisket in the trunk for lunch. Just sat outside. He opened his trunk. I had my hood. I had my thing laid out on my hood and just put my food there. Some of the meat slid on the ground. Amen. It's okay. But, you know, we had a great time. Just fellowshipping, random acts of encouragement. No Christian in this church should feel lonely. No Christian, no member. I'm gonna challenge us now. No member should feel alone in God's kingdom. I have a conviction about that. Do you? Do we have a conviction to lay our lives down and simply pick up the phone and say, bro, sis, how are you doing? How are you doing? To encourage each other the way Jesus encouraged us. Remember, the standard is not us. The standard is to wash our toes. That's the level of humility and depth we need to go to. Look at the effort Jesus went through to save one soul. One soul. One soul. He went extreme. It can get comfortable, guys. I know. I just want to encourage us with the RAY, random acts of encouragement. Spur one another on. We need to be reignited as a fellowship because of this pandemic. We need to be reignited because of the things we've faced in the last year or so. It's been the hardest time I've ever seen. I don't know for you, but it is for me. No one should feel isolated in God's church. No one. And if you do, think about what you can do to change. Amen? Others second, yourself last. Let's look at this passage. Philippians chapter 4, Holman translation. Make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. Man, how convicting is this? Make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus. Now, I want to say this. I know this is the basics, right? This is something we've heard over and over again. So how do we move the needle on the basics? Well, one of the things that I do as a football coach, I'm an offensive line coach, and I haven't preached in a while, so I'm going to use a football illustration because you haven't heard it in a while, amen? So it's good. But really, as an offensive line coach, the thing that you try to strive on is the basics. This one step, boom, that one step. No, don't take it like that. Take it like this. Don't take it like this. I said like this. One step. That one step, and if you can dent the line of scrimmage, a half a yard is a touchdown. That basic. That basic. The difference between you having success with your elbows tight and your hands out here is huge, because that defender can put his hand on your chest and knock you back, okay? Your eyes up, flat back. If you're tall, the defender sees an opportunity to knock you back in your chest. The Bible talks about breastplate, right? Of righteousness. Same thing. As an offensive line coach, I'm trying to take that breastplate off legally. We're trying to take our hands, put it underneath you, and knock you back. We're trying to get our leverage below your leverage all the time. We're getting ready to strike all the time. We're getting ready to fit you the right way all the time. If you don't do that, we show it on film and we fix it again. We keep repeating the fundamentals, because you know why? When you get in something like a pandemic, you get in something like the challenges we face socially, you get in all of those challenges, your faith is what calibrates you. The basics is what pulls you back to Jesus. And so when my guys are in the crucible, they're under fire, hey, dude, we talked about this 2 or 3 months ago. Why are you making this mistake in September when we started this in July? That's because you're selfish, you have your own ambition, and you want to do what you want to do instead of doing it for the team. Don't break that silhouette. Move as one heartbeat. We coach 5 guys at one time. Move together and encourage each other. And man, when you watch it on film, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It just looks like big bodies moving around. When you see that guy step right, guy puts his hands in the right place, head's fit in the right place, eyes in the right place, ID the linebacker the right way, great leverage. Man, you're like, wow, this is what it's all about, guys. And you know what? When you see that happen, you want to do it over and over and over again. And so the basics, brothers and sisters, I know we know these things, that Jesus died on the cross. I know we know he did it not for us, he didn't do it selfishly, he did it selflessly. I know we know he emptied himself, and I know he humbled himself, but are we imitating those basics day in and day out? And that's the thing that I'm challenged by as a disciple of Jesus, you know, and that's the thing that we all should be challenged by, but encouraged, because what? God is gracious, amen? He laid his life down for us. You know, I have an amazing spouse. Incredible spouse, incredible. I mean, God has blessed me beyond measure. I mean, you're talking about somebody who lays her life down. My wife had my mom had her 80th birthday week, okay? 80 years old for my mom, 80 years old. And mom is spunky. You think I'm kind of out there, you have to get with her. She's awesome. And she's a Christian, so she had disciples with her at her birthday party, which was awesome just to see disciples from Gwinnett be a part of her life. Man, it was great. And so Diane did this amazing planning. You see it, I'm not a big poster. She posts all the time. I don't post a lot. But she posted, and she posted all these things, and she worked so hard. It was an incredible party. I mean, we put all this work together. She's on the backyard of our grass and trying to put this together. And finally, I'm sharing. I'm the last one to share about my mom. Everybody shared. And Diane cramps up. All of a sudden, her body just seizes up. I'm like, oh, man, what's going on with my wife? I said, is it a muscle? I said, great. Oh, man, awesome. As a coach, you're like, okay, it's only the muscles. Okay, but for her, she's in a lot of pain. But a lot of that pain came because she sacrificed so much. And as someone with multiple sclerosis, with MS, you're like, wow, that's amazing. that she would lay her life down for my mother. Not her mother, my mother. And I'm so inspired and so grateful to you, honey. I appreciate all that you've done. And she was relaxing at home today. But it was just amazing to see how she laid her life down. And I think that's something we need to do for each other, to continue to lay our lives down for each other the way Jesus laid his life down for us. I want to inspire us to understand, brothers and sisters, I think what helps selfless love is growing in humility. I think that's what moves the needle. Humility to me and the Spirit of God is what moves the needle. We're getting ready to take communion together, and I wanted to share this passage in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man, and we're talking about yourselves last, this is yourselves last. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came. He gave us joy. Jesus was first. Others was second. Yourselves last. That's what brings us joy. It's more blessed to give than to receive. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Lastly, let's spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Amen, brothers and sisters. It's so great to see you. It's so great to see live bodies. We're thankful for you. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for his broken body that we're going to take that represents him being crushed on the cross. We thank you, God, for how he served us, how he laid down his life for us. God, I know these are basic things, but God, we need to do them day after day after day to glorify you. God, help us to express the selfless love that Jesus expressed in us. God, thank you for the blood that was shed for us. God, the forgiveness of sins that we give because we're showered by that blood. We thank you. We appreciate you. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.